And we're back.
Finally.
Movie Mayhem Podcast. You just got through with all of season two. We're not letting up.
No, we're not.
We're going straight into season three.
We're the only podcast that's gone through three seasons in its first, like, year.
Yeah. I mean, really, which is more representative of actual weather and
yeah,
seasons.
Yeah, true, yes.
You know?
No, no.
Seasons don't last a year.
No, that's true. Well, we've gone from, like, season... the planes are going. What was it? I think our first season, we went from the winter to the summer a little bit.
Well, it was, yeah, because that was season one, season begins.
That's true. And then season two, season harder.
Right.
We went from...
I felt it was a lot better than the season menace.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah.
The season attack of the seasons.
Right, season day.
Season
two, season day.
Season...
But now we're back with season three, season with the vengeance.
Season with the vengeance. Season to the danger zone.
The seasoning.
Seasoning.
Season to the danger zone.
A new season.
The new I mean, well, geez, it's obviously a new season.
Jeez.
Mikey.
Season three, the Winter Soldier.
Season three, season war.
Season one.
Yeah.
Return of the season.
Yeah, I guess.
Homecoming, season three.
Oh, nice.
Ah.
Well.
If you haven't guessed it, season three is
season
back on.
Season three. We're going to hit you guys with more reviews of more outlandish movies, more popular movies, and more robust and totally not thought up on the spot opinions.
No, not at all. I think this season I'm going to be a little bit more, I don't want to use the word aggressive. I just want to use the word maybe more assertive. If people can't come up with movies, I'm not just going to pick random popular movies.
Sure.
I'm going to pick the, like...
Gonna make them step out of their comfort
zone. Exactly. I'm gonna throw something out of left field that they've never seen before.
Well, you've certainly done that today, bro.
Yes, I have. I've been fighting for this movie since day fucking one.
Yeah, you have. It's your passengers.
It is.
He did bring it up last year.
Fine.
He did.
Yeah, and I was like, oh yeah, maybe.
No, he showed
and then
me.
I was hoping somebody else would do it, and then
you showed me the end credits to this movie.
I show
as the highlight. To
I show
it.
Everybody the end credits, though.
Which just suggests to me that the best part of the movie is when it's over. But it's
no,
all
the best part of the
me.
Like the problem is the only thing you can see out of context is the end credits.
Well, the whole movie seems like it's out of context.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
This movie kind of seems like a third installment of.
Right.
A movie franchise.
Yeah, it expects you to just be cool with a lot of things already. I guess we expect you to be cool with us going 3 minutes into the podcast without telling you what movie it is.
Well, everything's going to be on threes this year.
That's true.
Everything's going to be three cues.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
So we're just going to wait 4 more seconds, and then we're going to start.
Yeah.
And it's because...
So Brian chose for our first episode.
Get it right. Brian chose Brian did choose this one.
I want to take credit for this one. Chose to watch and review The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Across the Eighth Dimension.
Across the Eighth Dimension, which they spend very little time in.
Well, no, because he went across it real quick.
Yeah.
In the beginning. And
yeah,
that was the
adventure. It. And then the rest of the movie.
But he didn't really go across. He went in and then came back out.
Right.
He went, exactly, he went across. That's literally across. You don't say, like, I walked across the street by walking the whole street. You just walk across the
Fair
street.
Enough. Fair enough.
All right.
This Fair is a point. Movie that takes logistics very seriously.
It does.
So.
The science is right, guys. The science is always right.
The science is like...
Neil deGrasse Tyson proved it.
So, we could start by explaining what this does, the premise of the movie, if we can.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
It follows and the neuroscientist slash...
Rock star.
Particle physicist
slash secret agent
slash race car driver.
Yes.
Buckaroo Banzai.
And his group of merry men called the
Hong Kong Cavaliers.
By the way, dope name for a band.
I was about to say, that is pretty sweet.
Also a pretty good fantasy team name, too.
Right?
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good fantasy basketball team name.
All right, that's the most utility that I think you can get out of this film, is that you can make a lot of sweet, like, jokes and references that no one will be able to call you on.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. Like, nobody will know about it.
Right.
I want, like, look.
And then you could only draft players named John. Like, it has to
be
John.
Oh my god, I'm fucking gonna do that now.
Like, yeah. remember when Jimmy drafted his team based on who
based
was
on
cute?
Attractiveness.
Yeah. Now you just base your team on, you know, John Brown. John, yeah. John Smith, you know.
John Big Booty. Big Booty.
I will say that this movie, once I lighten up and let it happen.
It's gonna have the Turbo Kid Zombievers kind of feel.
Well, Turbo Kid had really good production though. And Turbo Kid was an homage.
Right.
Was I feel this
was the starting point.
The best way I can think of describing, I was thinking of the whole way here, was that it was a scattered mess and also extremely purist at the same time.
Right.
So this is a movie that when people make an over the top tribute or homage to like 80s sci-fi, they're making a movie like this one, except this isn't an homage because it happened before all these movies.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Mikey's here. I don't know. Hi guys.
Hey, Mikey.
When we're thinking off the wall stupidity, we go to the family. We bring
I'm
the
not
Mikey.
Stupid. So when I started watching this movie, and like 10 minutes in, I'm in the group chat on Facebook, and I'm watching, and I'm like, Brian, I can't tell. Is this like a spoof? Like, is this like a spoof movie? And he's like, no, you just gotta watch. And then like as I'm watching, I realize like this kind of like was before spoofs,
There was,
you know, what I mean? Like,
the thing is, it was the way that they kind of described it. There's a pretty great Q&A I was telling Mikey before from the New York Film Festival a couple years ago, where Kevin Smith was curating and had
Peter Weller said he wanted to bring it back, right?
Yeah, he's trying to develop a TV show for Amazon.
I mean, I would like to see. They did tell me to watch out for the next adventure against the World Crime League.
It's been
30
years.
I would like to see that, yeah.
Plus another dope name for a fucking team. The World Crime League.
That's what I'm saying. This movie has its like points that I definitely take from it in a positive light.
Yeah.
Just as a film, as a movie.
Right.
I mean, and I think in retrospect, I'll lighten up on it over the course of this review.
But you see it again.
I don't know if I will.
So here's the plan. We're gonna wait a few weeks. We're gonna wait for Matt to be in a good mood and have him watch it again. And then we'll review it again.
Once Matt can eat human food again.
That's true.
Matt's been fasting for how long now? Cutting
weight for about a month so far, and I got 2 more weeks.
You got 2 more weeks to become the strongest man in the East Coast of the entire United States.
United States.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you know this.
The funny thing is this isn't even a joke.
No,
like,
no,
this is
no,
actually
true. I'm competing in USA Powerlifting
Nationals. It's the truth. He's wearing a fucking jacket that says it.
It says Powerlifting Team on the back. It does, actually.
So bring your shit other podcasts.
Yeah, that's true. We're at least the strongest podcast that doesn't cover powerlifting. Yeah, right.
the strongest movie podcast.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, we are definitely the strongest movie podcast.
That's true. Yeah, because I'm like country strong. I
yeah,
need
yeah.
To lift.
You're farm just, bred.
Yeah,
I'm, right.
I'm, this, yeah. I'm farm bred from the suburbs. Yeah.
Okay, but, let me stop putting it off. Let's go into this movie.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Brian, take. Tell me why you wanted me to watch this.
And tell me why.
I think because this movie
oh,
is...
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Let me just finish.
No problem.
So, all these things that Buckaroo Banzai is, the movie starts with him going, trying to break a speed record, like, for the fastest thing possible, like 500 miles per hour, and then he ends up opening a doorway to the eighth dimension.
Actually, no. He was trying to get to the eighth dimension.
Was that
his
goal?
And the car, the rocket car, or the truck with just a whole lot of shit with it on just happened to go 500 miles.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So it wasn't
perfect.
A
Perfect
Tommy
built that car.
Right.
Because you
he was pretty cool.
He's
yeah, I think he was probably my favorite character.
Yeah. Perfect Tommy was pretty
perfect
cool.
Perfect Tommy,
yeah.
Rawhide, played by Lindsay Brown.
Yeah,
Perfect. Everyone had like semi decent careers.
Yeah,
I really love the whole scene. Where give her your jacket? Why me? And he's like, "Well, because
you're perfect."
You're perfect. And he's like, "We got a point."
Good point.
I'm telling you, there's like such good tête-à-tête.
You could, yeah. It was so great. Like he couldn't help but acknowledge that.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
You know.
You're right.
But pretty much, he goes in the eighth dimension and he brings back aliens. Yep. And that's really anything no, he, else. I'll end up giving are, you the whole. The aliens yeah, were there the whole
the
time.
The aliens were there the whole time.
I know, but he ended up
bringing another one back.
Yeah, which yeah. then woke them up, so to speak.
Yeah.
And anything more, man, I'll just end up giving up the whole plot.
But that was actually kind of weird because they were already there. You know what
I
mean? I
thought
like,
it was a really cool tie-in that they were the War of the Worlds was actually real.
It was actually real.
That was great.
I thought that was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Like that whole the science does work out. Yeah. Like if you look at it on paper,
they hypnotize.
Yeah.
Oh man.
They all apply for Orson Welles security
numbers. Live
brainwashing.
Jesus.
Oh man.
And no. One thing I really enjoy too that Jeff Goldblum's character went to Columbia Med School, which is where I go right now.
Shout out.
So, wow. Shout out to Columbia PNS.
We were talking before you came that Jeff Goldblum's character is dressed completely southernly outlandish, like as a cowboy.
Similar to how I dress.
Yeah, yeah. But also his name
is
New Jersey.
Yeah, so his name's New Jersey.
Like, it
yeah.
makes
also
no sense.
They,
yeah.
That they clearly obviously shot in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
yeah. They were in New Jersey the whole time. But,
like, you just see a palm tree and you're like, I don't think those yeah. exist in yeah. Jersey.
It's like they went to the Back to the Future 2 tunnel. It's like, that's not yeah. in New Jersey. You can't make left turns here.
Hillside Valley also isn't in New Jersey.
There also aren't any deserts in New Jersey.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's like it's so outlandish that it just, you kind of go like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Because, all right. So to answer your question, what kind of movie this is, it's a sci-fi, comedy, satire, romance, drama.
Is it satire? That's the thing. I can't figure that out.
A lot because they thought it was going to be the next Star Wars. They wanted to get that Star Wars vibe to it. That's how they sold it to one group at Fox, and then when that group left, they tried to sell it to the other group of Fox outlet. So this movie came about with two different factions coming in.
So, Spaceballs came out the year before this.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
They didn't think Spaceballs checked that box for them.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's also if you look at Hollywood, there's a lot of parody.
Yeah.
Because you go so let's look at horror movie. So Paranormal Activity comes out. What comes out after that? You got all the scary movies coming
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Then you get the paranormal. What is the one with Damon Wayans? Marlon Wayans.
Yeah, scary. Like the one that's scary.
Haunted House.
Yeah.
So you get different satires, and it's not like just one. So they were trying to Buck Rogers. They were trying to do a couple of different sci-fi elements of it,
mm-hmm.
and I think it just was just how goofy that is. And they said the guys who wrote it was so into it. He wrote 8 different scripts.
It shows.
But it's not like 8 different scripts.
Yeah.
No.
Smash it together.
No, it's not 8 different scripts of this one movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8 different movies
and
of this one group. That's
so
why
World Crime League was already written.
Yeah, that's why this world already seems mm-hmm. so deep.
Yeah.
And a lot of the exposition doesn't come from the characters.
No.
It comes from everything in the background. So on radio broadcast, you'll hear oh, if you remember, the so-and-so was in that. And they're this. All the exposition is taken care of without dialogue, quote-unquote, suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and then you kind of just see with these actors, instead of trying to world build, they just get to play as these characters. You know, if you look, compare it to, superhero, when I was watching it, I was comparing it to Iron Man 2. Because if you look how it is, it's here's this one guy, Buckaroo Banzai and Tony Stark, kind of Renaissance men of their time. They're
sure.
both rock star element, both secret agent superheroes, doing a whole bunch of shit at different times.
Right.
And they're just trying to live and get their ladies.
I am going to, whenever I have a chance to talk to the girl at Muscle Maker Grill again, I'm going to tell her, no matter where you're going,
it's where you are.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I'm telling you. Like that quote has been said in Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome.
Oh, was that the
and
quote?
And the Brady Bunch movie. Yeah.
It's I mean that stuck out to me right
no
away.
No matter where you go,
yeah.
is where you are.
Is where you are. It doesn't make any sense to me,
no,
but
it's
really stood out.
And the crazy thing about that is that scene where they're in the nightclub.
Yeah.
When Penny tries
to kill herself?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
There's two different cinematographers in that movie. That scene was done by the guy who did Blade Runner and a couple other different sci-fi.
That's the same guy.
And then
same cinematographer as Blade Runner.
Yeah. Because you could tell there's
Sorry.
No, yeah. But they wanted to keep that guy, but the Fox regime said, no, this is not what we want. We don't want to make a Blade Runner-esque type movie. Mm. We want to make a more, more comedy-looking movie.
Yeah.
So they bring in a guy who was the director of cinematography for Patton. It's kind of, yeah. Because if you look at it, one's more, kind of sleek and... And then the rest of the movie is like flat.
And it wasn't a much darker scene too.
Yeah,
that was the whole thing. Was like there wasn't any shots that I was like, ooh, that was a nice shot. That looks good.
It was more like
the nightclub one. It's the only
looks basic as fuck, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, the only thing that I thought stood out outside of that nightclub scene was when they first get to the warehouse. Where all the red aliens are, and Perfect Tommy goes on that baby toy,
yeah,
and like the color of the baby toy stood out so much against everything else. It was the only thing that really caught my eye.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the movie was definitely not a visual spectacle.
Now, could you imagine if they did something more daring and like cutting edge of that with this kind of movie? Like, it would stand out a lot more than what it did.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, that's real. I kind of agree with Fox where that's not at all what they were going for.
No, yeah.
You know?
Well, that's not at all what Fox wanted.
Right.
Fox makes the best decisions. I mean this in like kind of the nicest way possible, because I don't mean
movie's
to sound
30
like
years
a dick.
Old. You could kind of say what you have to say.
True.
I can kind of relate this movie to somebody who just goes into film school with the idea of, oh, I want to make a film, and tries to make a movie. Yeah. Like everything was
like
just
Kevin Smith did, like
flat. No, but
Tarantino did. Like,
no, like on their first try.
On their first try. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah. Well,
like, not somebody who goes to film school and makes a movie. That's
right,
every director.
This is like his first movie.
It's just a lot of the finer things that you come to appreciate from movies like aren't here, but that's fine, because that's not what they were focusing on.
Right.
They were focusing on, I suppose, the comedy and the fun.
And it did have fun parts, and it did have good comedy
good
and stuff.
Yeah.
This guy directed two movies. Buckaroo Banzai was the first one, and then Late for Dinner was the second. But he's a writer. And the other thing that you might know, he wrote the adaptation for Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh,
okay.
I do like Big Trouble in Little China.
So there is some
the
roots.
The comedy was there. Like, I was laughing throughout the movie, but
Were you laughing because it was funny, or were you laughing because you found things funny?
Were you laughing at it?
Were you laughing with it or laughing at it?
No. I was laughing with it. You know, there were parts where I was like, but you know. I watched the last half hour here because miscommunication and stuff like that. But when they're when he's in the spaceship,
mm-hmm.
The drop pod type thing,
the thermopod,
and there's
make
just,
sure you get it right.
There's just a very unflattering picture on the wall of
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow, and I'm like, every time I cut, I was laughing because why is that there?
I thought it was really funny. Yeah, I thought it was really funny too when he after. He takes out the aliens and he comes home, and someone goes, Mr. Banzai, Dr. Banzai, the president wants to know if you handle everything with the aliens, or if you should just go ahead and destroy Russia. And he's just like, yes to the first one, no to the second. He's like, okay.
Was
the first one blow up Russia, or was that number?
The bits of comedy just kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's
and
the
it's
thing.
Great. Like,
it comes out of nowhere, and no one actually reacts to how ridiculous
it is. A lot of
the
performances too, a lot of the John Lithgow's crew, which a lot of great character actors Christopher Lloyd. The other guys, I can't pronounce his last name, but he was in Death to Smoochie. He's the guy with the real gaunt face and the
Yeah.
Vincent
Skadoosh.
And then the other guy is Dennis Hader, who was in he's always just plays he was in Rookie of the Year. He was Mr. Fish. He always kind of plays that swarthy asshole.
Oh, okay. Well,
I can say though the best. I've never really seen John Lithgow young before. I never saw a movie with him kind of young. So I'm glad to know now
what... He's not always perpetually 64?
No, no. Well, that, and also now I know what that guy from Wedding Crashers, Kier O'Connell, who plays the brother, right. Now I know what he's going to look like when he gets older, because they look exactly the same. Like, young John Lithgow looks exactly like that dude.
Oh, man. They, what was it? This is kind of funny, because Lithgow did this right after getting nominated for an Oscar twice.
Wow. Yikes, that's a...
You gave up, huh?
No, no. He, like, he said he did, like, he even said in the Q&A, he's like, he did all his best work within 3 years, he feels. Hmm. He did, you know, like, World According to Garp. He did another one, which I forgot what the other one he got nominated for. The Twilight Zone movie, Footloose, mm-hmm. this movie, and another one he said. And it's like, he loves this movie. Okay. Yeah, he loved, like... Because
He was good. Like you said, like you could tell he put a lot into it. Yeah. Like yep. You could tell that he worked with dialect coaches to make sure he got.
Funny the you bring that like up. That. The dialect coach, they do mention he has a dialect coach. It was a tailor at MGM Studios. It was just an Italian guy, so he wow. just said. He like who had like a deep accent, like had that accent. So he had him record some of his like lines. It's like, I just want to hear you say this. So he just. Got that accent and just, like, turned it up to 10.
And that's why it sounds like Mussolini?
Yeah, that, exactly. And he also watched Mussolini speeches, too.
Yeah.
So he got a
wait,
lot...
Wait, that was an Italian accent?
That was, yeah.
That was John Lithgow trying an Italian
accent. Yeah. He sounded really Russian. Yeah. Like, I thought that was a Russian accent.
What grade did you get in World History?
History was actually one of my... best classes.
Was it?
Was it?
I was.
Sure.
Don't, hey, cut it now. Don't bring up anything else.
What did you
else.
Do better in? History or English?
Or geography.
Actually, English.
Maybe that's why his geography is all messed up.
Yeah.
Wait, I was good in geometry.
Geography.
Oof. Yeah, okay, so.
English and history were my two. Science and math were no-goes.
Nice. Yeah.
English and history.
I was good at English. And science.
I was good at lunch.
Decent
too.
At math.
I was good at all.
I mean, we're not as smart as Buckaroo Banzai, but.
No,
yeah.
We're not.
Art. I was good at art.
I just thought, you know, the reason I say it's like a mess and also very like.
It's a beautiful disaster.
Yeah. It's because, like.
It's a cute disaster.
You have,
it's
not yeah, beautiful. Yeah, beautiful to stretch. We just shit all over its cinematography. Yeah. So.
You know, like how it goes from, like, I love you, but, like, I like you to I love you? Like, yeah. That wasn't I like you.
I'm just saying,
yeah,
like.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It wasn't I love you.
You're a cool gal. All things in total, and then finding the background out on this stuff, it's fucking, like, a beautiful disaster.
That's the thing. I wish we found out some background on anything in this movie or about Dr. Banzai outside of his parents dying in that horrendous race car like
yeah.
time dimension travel accident.
Yeah. There was I didn't
see Jamie Lee Curtis played his mom?
Yes.
That's wild.
Yes.
But it got cut out. Didn't
it got cut out, yeah, cuz they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. They're like it doesn't explain anything.
I thought she was in the flashback.
No, the flashback is what with Lithgow?
No.
There oh, so you saw the one
in the very beginning. Yeah, that was
Oh, so the
like and it shows the accident in the beginning.
I didn't see that.
So you
oh,
saw,
you didn't see that? I yeah. saw a different version.
You saw theatrical. He saw a theatrical. You saw a director's cut.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, okay.
That makes even more sense.
Because Jamie Lee Curtis got cut out.
Oh,
they're like,
okay.
Like, what are we doing here?
So, did it start with you showing the death of his parents?
No, it showed.
Oh, wow.
It showed
him. It showed how smart he is.
Oh.
Because it's like.
Because it showed the brain surgery?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was kind of cutting back and forth between
the race
and,
yeah, and the surgery.
The surgery.
Yeah.
And, like, you get introduced to Goldblum. And,
right,
like,
right. Yeah, see, that happened in the version that I watched right after it shows the flashback of his parents dying.
I would also like to say, I don't like young Jeff Goldblum. He does not look good at all.
Really?
Like, he's
a sex
aged
symbol.
Really well with
he did.
With time, but I don't think...
Welcome
like,
to the Jeff Goldblum minute. Talk yeah, about right. how sexy Goldblum is.
Look,
what do you find yeah. sexier, Jeff Goldblum now or Jeff Goldblum then?
Jurassic Park Goldblum?
Ooh.
The Fly Goldblum?
No, see, I don't like the Fly Goldblum.
Because he's
like,
a fly.
No, but before that, like, in the beginning of the movie, he just looks...
You don't like 80s Goldblum, that's...
What about Independence Day Goldblum?
Premium gold.
That's like
premium gold.
That's
what's
like
peak bloom for you.
Like
where's your where are you
yeah,
at?
Yeah, When did the bloom bloom?
Yeah, when did the gold bloom?
Wait, hold on. I can tell you by movies.
Hold on. He looks particularly hot in this one.
Are you a silver fox gold bloom?
Yeah, are you?
Are you silver and gold? Or are you more of a...
Silver and gold.
I just want to get my chronological...
Crotchological.
All right, so I will say...
In the meantime,
Jurassic Park, okay. I did like.
Yeah,
he did look better in that.
The slick back.
Lost World.
Independence Day is when he kind of like Lost World. No, Independence Day, like.
So that's right your peak there. Bloom.
Peak. Yeah.
That's your gold bloom.
That's your gold. That's the gold of the bloom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
Where is this podcast going?
Yeah. Right.
Cats and
you
dogs.
Have all these notes, but we didn't get to talk.
Cats and dogs too. Like he was.
I don't remember.
But now, even if you.
We're all doing that, like, kind of like the. No, I don't think so.
No, I didn't watch Cats and Dogs.
I totally saw Cats and. Wait, Cats and Dogs, the one with the.
I love Cats and Dogs.
When they're, like, actually secret agents. Like,
oh, shit.
I love that movie.
No, I love the movie.
It was technically Cats vs. Dogs. Yeah. It's like Cats and Dogs.
Because it's, like, a romantic comedy, Cats and Dogs.
No, okay.
I prefer Cats vs. Dogs.
Vs. Dogs. That movie was awesome.
Yeah, that was peak bloom.
I'm sure it'll hold up just fine.
Do you think it's better than this movie?
No.
Maybe.
All right, Bryce. So, what did you enjoy most about Buckaroo Banzai?
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed that it didn't, like, back away from how campy it is. It embraced the world it lived in. Like, you look at a lot, like, all right. Compare it to the campy movies now, to this one,
like intentionally campy or just like happen to be too campy,
like Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, like that's considered a campy movie,
or like,
right?
Turbo,
or like Tusk,
yeah, all right, no, like, oh yeah, like
Tusk.
Tusk tried, at a point, it did try to be a straight up horror movie. If you watch it, you'll see it tried to be a straight up horror movie. But then kind of at a point when they start doing the whole, now he's a real walrus, like it kind of lost it. I didn't feel that this ever just stopped. Like it never stopped.
Yeah.
Because there was also like a weird cheating subplot in Tusk that came out of nowhere between like Haley Joel Osment and
But it also kind of set it up like that's why Haley Joel Osment never went on the adventures with him,
right?
You know, like it shows you why he's the only one. It's because he's staying home and sleeping with the girlfriend, you know, like,
yeah, but there's other ways of doing that.
Yeah, I guess, but
no, but I get what you're saying. That's what I mean when I say that it's like a scattered, or it's like very purist,
right?
Like it's scattered in that like he's embraces Japanese culture, but that's never really looked into, and how He is a rock star, I guess, and how all of these things about him and his crew, but that holds up throughout the movie.
Yeah,
and they just keep going.
Like
with
he never stops being famous.
Right. Yeah. He'll just happen. Yeah, he has like a kid and his dad pick him up in a helicopter because they're fans.
They're a fan club.
When it was never established that he was even that. Like it's the examples of it are what establishes it instead of being established and showing it.
Happening. I like that the fact
him
that they
being
say,
a musician in a nightclub doesn't show me that he's a rock star. You
right.
Know what I mean, like it shows me that he knows how to play the guitar or sing
right,
or whatever.
Right, but it's like, oh, he's a rock star.
A stadium and you just see crowds of people, but like a comedy club filled with people drinking wine and stuff like that,
well,
doesn't show
they didn't
that.
Have the money
and trying
for
to kill themselves.
Yeah. Trying to kill themselves.
But like, here's the
thing. That's also not explained either.
They also said they're like, oh, there's comic books, there's this, there's
yeah,
that.
He's got a
so
comic
he's got a
book
whole,
after.
Like, he's kind of like how Mr. T was.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you got a cartoon show, you got this, like, or like how Hulk Hogan was, you know, but without the racism.
Well, there was a bit of
slight to heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the black alien being disguised as a Rastafarian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It was
eight. And even the whole like the red aliens and the black aliens.
What were they called? Lectoids or something?
Electroids?
Electoids.
Yeah, something like that. But they're like, that was also another, like, it's a racist struggle.
Yeah.
Nobody really gave it shit for that.
No, I mean,
I think it was a different time too.
No, even like in the cult following of it, they like people said like it's fine. Like It doesn't, like, also, like, show one as, like, a fucking far superior one and one as a far
less inferior one. I don't think that's a problem. I think it's two different, like, variations of a species going at it. I don't think that's, you know, racist or it says anything about our, about societal and racial issues. I just thought it was funny that the only, like, black lectoid in the movie disguises himself, disguises himself, does so as a Jamaican, a stereotypical black guy.
It's a Rastafarian guy.
Yeah. So.
Ooh, side note, the actor who plays, I think that's John Parker?
Yeah, John Parker.
Voiced John Jones in the Justice League cartoon.
Wow.
Yep.
Huh.
Deep cuts.
Yeah.
Telling you.
That dude, he stuck with what he was good at, I guess.
Yeah. Playing Johns?
Just playing Johns, yeah.
I could play other guys, but I really am strong playing John.
I think I found my calling.
I'm a John.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, things like, it's absolutely ridiculous how well-renowned he is. Right. But even at the end, when he, like, somehow has a human parachute in this alien, like, thermopod and, like, jumps out of it and then lands right where he took off, which would never happen given how much they traveled.
Right.
And then, like...
They had to be, like, 800 miles away.
Exactly. And he landed right there.
Also, what's the point of using the parachute when you could just have the thermopod
just drop you off.
Drop you off?
Just peace out.
So that sweet green screen. That's
what
it was.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then perfect time, he just goes, you know, for a second there, I thought... Things might have gotten a little complicated, like something like you know, it almost
but
was
also
a problem.
That also plays into the character where it's like, you know,
well, that's
I thought this was gonna be a problem, but
well, that's what I'm saying.
You.
They stick through it.
Right through it. That he's always
just a step ahead of everything.
Cooler than, he's
and they don't
than
even
cool.
bother. They don't even worry about how that how that sets you up for disaster when you're a superhero, when you're a protagonist, can't be challenged. It's like they just set themselves up for the Superman problem,
right?
And then just like don't care.
Where like your hero's so powerful, he's so uninterested.
He's OP.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care.
And no one cares. Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine because you know at least they're consistent.
Because he also has a group around him that kind of is his like our flaws.
The only challenge that really approaches him. Is that like when they're in the sewers trying to get into the warehouse,
and the
alien drops down,
yeah,
and like totally sneaks up on them, but lands and goes, they turn around and the guy is a good 10-15 yards away, and then Perfect Tommy shoots him and he's like, "You owe me one," as if like Buck Robonzai couldn't just turn around and shoot him, what?
He had also had the drop on him.
Yeah, it was just a kill steal. It wasn't.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Also did not have a gun.
No,
no, not at all.
A lot of unarmed people up in rafters died in this movie.
A lot of falling, which was fantastic.
A lot of like, at some point I'm stopping. I'm thinking like, are these stuntmen or are they just pushing like dummies down
off of
rafters?
They're aliens.
They're aliens.
They're not
true.
Real.
Yeah, they're old Johns.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, like in every single setting that they go to, there's an alien up in the rafters, doing nothing but watching up in the rafters. But they're not the ones that spot you.
Like
they spot the crew.
One guy's just like a scientist. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
I feel like these aliens were heavily influenced. The aliens from the Scary Movie 3. Was it Scary Movie 3 with the?
You think they were influenced by Scary Movie 3?
No.
I corrected myself.
Oh, other way around.
Oh,
other
so
way around.
These
okay.
aliens
yeah.
influenced the ones
from.
Well, the ones from Scary Movie 3, I think, were just pretty generic aliens.
Were they?
What do you mean, like, by look or, like,
by
character
look, right?
traits?
Yeah.
And by character traits, I guess, but
by look.
I think the ones on Scary Movie 3 were based off of Signs.
Yeah.
Because that was the main movie that
they
were parodying.
Yeah, right now I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and in that way, they just kind of looked like generic aliens.
Yeah. Another movie I saw that...
This one,
I thought it was
also,
one.
I think, a movie called Enemy Mine with, like, Dennis Quaid.
Oh man,
Lou Gossett Jr.
I might have seen it because you said it, and I thought Harrison Ford when you said it, but then you said Dennis Quaid. I was like, oh, so discount Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
so I might have seen it.
Oh my god!
But then again,
the problem with Dennis Quaid is that he was born too close to
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, so that he can never be.
If he was born 20 years later or 10 years later, he could have been today's
what's
Harrison
Dennis,
Ford.
So not like
Dennis
not like
Quaid's...
quite, but like pretty. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Pretty close.
They actually almost, it's pretty close. Yeah.
It's also kind of crazy how Christopher Lloyd's alien makeup looked like Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Like, I was able I was able to tell that was.
I appreciate that they weren't all just wearing the same mask.
Yeah. I even mentioned it too, like, the editing is good until it's not good.
Yeah, then it's very
clear, very obviously, like, because you could see, like, you'll watch this movie, and I, you know, wholeheartedly recommend you people should watch this movie.
You do recommend it.
It just got re-released on DVD.
All right, so watch it. My recommendation is watch it, and then realize what not to do when you make a movie.
It's like they're just having fun. It looked like, but when, like, speaking of the editing, it's like you'll see one scene where if Buckaroo Banzai is not in frame, it's them as regular people. And then when he's back in frame, it's them in makeup.
That was because at that time he was the only one that could see them.
Exactly. But I'm saying with the editing, it's like it didn't fool you. Just said like he knows what they look like. Yeah. So now you're seeing him.
That also kind of reminds me of the, when we saw Warcraft, when they do the translating. When you're in one perspective, like if I'm in your perspective and you're trying to understand Brian, who's an orc. From here, you can't understand him, and you hear the translator, but when they zoom onto him, you hear his language.
Oh, and he's in English?
Yeah, in English, yeah. Oh, okay. It translates for you, but it does a really cool...
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So yeah, it's all using perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that. And that, it's very similar to what
they
did here.
Have you seen that movie yet?
Warcraft?
Yeah.
No, I didn't plan on it.
God
should
damn
I?
It, yeah.
I
think so.
The Honest Trailer is pretty spot on, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like there's an interesting movie with the orcs. Yeah. And then there's a boring movie with the humans.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So what else did you
what else did I get?
Did you take down?
I asked, did Rohai die? I'm not too sure.
No.
He was like dead, and then he was out for the last fight, but then again that happens to a lot of supporting characters.
I don't think he died.
Think of the sequel.
Yeah.
What is it? I said there's a lot of neck snapping in this movie.
Yeah. A good amount of neck snapping.
Like the Key and Peele speech.
Yeah, yeah. Like the 80s movie and he just snaps people's necks.
Oh, the bubble wrap Google Glass.
Oh, my
God. Oh, yeah. What the hell?
Honestly, if you want...
That made me so mad.
Really?
Angry.
If you want a very budget Halloween costume...
Yeah,
and nobody
that
knows.
No one will get.
Like,
yeah.
If you go to a bar of 300 people, one person will get.
Mm-hmm. You'll need two things.
If that, yeah,
you'll need two things. You'll need a wrap of bubble glass, bubble wrap, and you'll need to go to CVS and go to where they have those fake glasses,
the fake cardboard ones. Yeah,
yeah, and just
get
pop
Google
out
cardboard. Where you put your little VR thing in,
and just wrap that in bubble.
Just wrap that in bubble wrap, and you're fine.
I saw it and I was like, is this real? And then I'm like, I was trying to see
the
fucking A's. I was like, is there like things inside the bubble wrap or is it just straight bubble wrap?
No.
In another movie, they explained it.
Yeah.
In another
version.
Not
this one.
Yeah, maybe as an anthology, this movie like would be cool because, you know, you get to see all these things about Buckaroo Banzai. But something tells me that in all 8 scripts that this writer wrote, none of these things are ever explained.
No.
Right.
I also like the fact that none of it's explained.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, okay. Like,
yeah, that's not like what
it's like how
the
is
movie.
How
you're
is a snorkel dropped. Connected to like an air conditioner filter going to help you see aliens?
Yeah,
but you're like dropped into it, and you know some movies can get away with that and stuff like that, but I guess this one.
An example, what movie drops you in that you're?
I can't think off the top of my head, but I know that I felt this way before
very
with movies, and it works. I know, and when it. You know, when it boils down to it, they drop you down into it, but there are so many other characters in the Hong Kong Cavaliers that you don't get to meet them. You don't get a moment where you're like, oh, all right, so Perfect Tommy. Like, the only thing you know from Perfect Tommy is that gave somebody a coat and now that's why he's perfect or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, there's no deposition at all.
Exposition.
Sorry.
Deposition.
Rock's deposition.
Yeah.
That was one of the issues I had with the movie because I was very lost. With
so you
all
want?
All the
well,
people.
You had that problem with Edge of Tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
You're like, but you were on the other side. Like, why do I give a fuck about these other characters?
Yeah.
For me, in this movie, Penny was particularly weak. And the whole, like, love story with Penny. Yeah. I get that she, like, reminded him of his ex-wife.
It's just some pretty easy dots to connect.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you must be an adopted, or a long-lost twin.
Yeah, Jesus.
It's like, come on.
Jesus Christ. And then she ended up not really amounting to anything, but, at, like, you know, just getting kidnapped.
Right.
You know, and yeah.
But this was in a time where, you know.
That's all woman characters were good for at that time.
Like, if this was done now, it would obviously be played by Kaley Cuoco, and she'd be, like, really quippy. And,
yeah, yeah. You know. And feisty and all that. But
going back to, like, what you brought up about the Edge of Tomorrow thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like with Edge of Tomorrow, the other characters, they just, I'm not saying they were, but they just seemed to me very generic. And yeah. I wasn't able to, like, connect.
They were tropes.
But in Buckaroo Banzai, they really try to make an effort to diversify everybody by having, like, Perfect Tommy blonde hair.
Right.
Like, Jeff Goldblum dressed as a cowboy. Another guy with tattoos all over his
really
face.
You really wanted to know more, like, about Pinky Carruthers and how he's a Blue Blazer original.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, but you know what I mean? Like, you...
No, look.
You're expected to know.
Because you know what? A lot of these guys are different characters. And they've been built up in this world that we'll never see.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, Kevin Smith's show gets it going. And
there's a lot of material for him to explore.
There's a lot left on this table. And we only got a portion of this table. Like, a portion. Like, we got a plate of a buffet, as Kevin Smith said. Like, there's so much to have, but you only get so little of it. And that's it.
Yeah, the thing is, it's like a China buffet.
Yeah. But you don't know what's going to give you diarrhea.
And yeah, and like everything.
Man, you are so hungry, aren't you?
Yeah.
Man, dude, let's get McDonald's.
My brain has, like,
get grilled chicken
and
rice.
I've been, like, going through these, like, tests with, like, no carbs in my brain. It's, like, ridiculous. But anyway, so I'm trying to, like, the things I like about the movie are also what I dislike about the movie.
Right.
You know? So on one hand, like, I really kind of dig how these characters have, these supporting characters have these, like, wicked designs that, like, are never explained and are different than anything you'll see. It reminds me of, like, you know, the sci-fi movies that this is, like, parodying and that people end up parodying later on, where it's like, take the cantina. All those incredible, like,
right. Like there's, like, so many different characters that could have more interesting
that
adventures.
Do in, like, the extended universe and all those. But that, you know, they're on the screen for, like, maybe half a second.
You want a Buckaroo Banzai extended universe?
That's not what I want. But I'm saying, like, I
BBEU.
But I'm saying, like, I get that's, you know, like, I appreciate them world, like, having a world.
Like, you want to know, what's the deal with Rawhide? Why is he called Rawhide?
Kind of.
Like, why is New Jersey dressed up in furry
That's something
chefs?
I'm more interested in.
What's going on?
And Perfect Tommy interests me a lot. His right-hand man.
I would love to know
how did
his
he get
origin.
To perfect? Did he start off as basically average? Because
that's not
then
perfect. You know what I mean? But he's, like, perfect now, and that's fine.
No, yeah.
You know, like, I dig that. At
you
the same
born
time,
perfect,
like,
or you just,
yeah, the yeah. craziness is, like, cool, and, like, I want to know more about, like, Perfect Tommy, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, I really didn't like... Like, say like the design of, like, the spaceships, for example. I thought they looked pretty whack, and then their use, like, the use of special effects throughout the entire movie. Obviously, it's dated,
right?
But it seems like it doesn't. That's not what bothered me. What bothered me is that, like, example, the parachute just to have him floating through the clouds, you know, when you could have just dropped him off. You know what I mean?
And, like, kind of a good send off, like, sayonara.
Yeah,
but, like, kind of like based on what you're saying, like, I saw that this movie had, like, a $12 million budget. So back then,
you know,
back then, like,
that
probably
gets
more money.
That probably get you pretty far, yeah.
It made half its budget back.
Why? Oh, man. Like, where did all that money go? You know, like,
it went into literally the last 5 minutes with those spaceships.
That bus.
Which is whack, you know? And, like, and again, I think it's cool to have all these, like, different characters that aren't, like, picked up later on.
Mm-hmm.
That, because, you know, extended universe sequels, all that. But I don't like that they, like, also started a few stories that were never picked up either. And maybe it's because I saw the director's cut.
Right.
But,
you,
like,
you got that deep cut.
Yeah, you know? So I picked up a lot of, like, I saw a lot of things that, you know, that maybe they were right to take out.
Like,
you know?
Like,
oh, for example, the scene with his parents.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like, I get why I mean, that had no effect later on, and I thought they were setting something up because his mentor is the one that saved him.
Well, they actually try, I think, in like the other cuts of the script, is that they're saying that the leader of the World Crime League killed his parents.
Oh,
and
that's
And there's another, because I went through the deleted scenes on the DVD that I have, and like they try to set up like, Penny thinks that John Lithgow's character, Dr. Lizardo, is the leader of the World Crime League, thinking that they're the same person. Mm. It's like, oh, two different guys.
Mm.
So yeah, like the pre-made world is tough when you don't introduce the big villain and.
Right. Yeah, so like
it was also a big portion of the movie where he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Who? Which one?
John Lithgow.
Oh yeah, but that happens a lot.
I mean, it was like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That without your villain. Yeah, so I mean, it's a lot of things that I guess I'm cool with like characters being picked up and then just being shown and then like not highlighted, but then you have actual like storylines in here that are picked up and then never highlighted. Like both the anything involving Penny. Any like her suicide,
right? What's like, going on there?
Yeah, and then she kind of just you know chippers on up halfway through.
A night in the drunk tank really kind of gets you going.
I guess so. You know what I mean? And just you know just the like anything involving any of his relationships with like any of his characters would be cool. But even that like fine like I get it. He's popular. That's fine. You know I just. The world, like, again, the World Crime League, if you're going to have a sequel, like, maybe, like, use some of these weird, like, one-off conversations and stories to set some of that up.
Right.
You know, like, was that his sister that, like, when they brought Penny over, she thought it was, like, Peggy?
Oh, I think it's just, like, the secretary?
The secretary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone needs to do the day-to-day.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Collate files.
Sure, sure. Book nightclubs.
Yeah.
And you know, like... There was
very. It's a very sexist thing too. It's like, oh, they're going to the clubhouse. It's boys only.
Yeah, right. What the hell? Yeah, that was so dumb. And she's another thing. It was like you're picking up that this is definitely like a doppelganger for his ex-wife.
You know what this movie is?
I never picked up.
It might help kind of illuminate. It's imagine you're playing like humans versus aliens as a child.
Yeah.
And all the things you want to do as a child, as like a nerdy child, like I want to be a rock star, I want to be a scientist, I want to be a surgeon, I just want to go around with my buddies on a double decker bus, and because when she tried shooting, like everybody pulled their gun out.
Yeah,
like,
it's
like, like this is what.
And that was I thought like, that was pretty cool that they like you know they get I guess because I'm like a child. Yeah.
I would like to say that, like I said, like I somewhat enjoyed the movie and stuff like that, but the one thing that really bothered me with this movie, and probably the most negative feelings I have for this movie, is the essence of absolutely no climax. Like,
oh yeah, everything kind of just went.
Yeah,
right.
Like the when Penny
just
when
even
Penny's,
the main conflict felt like it wasn't resolved.
Like you know with you know you think of it like
on
a,
him.
Yeah.
When you think of a climax, you think of like a roller coaster. Like you go straight up, and then you know that's when you go down.
Or
peak
blooming,
like that.
You know,
exactly.
We're climbing the bloom, the gold bloom.
What I felt, what I felt like this movie was like picture Kingda Ka from Six Flags, but like a quarter of the way up the mountain, the track just ends, and you just go, and then just fall down.
Well, you know, sometimes Kingda Ka goes up and it doesn't make it around the loop, like the
it doesn't even
bend,
get that high,
and
up
it comes back down.
Here's actually how I would think. It's I haven't been on this Kingda Ka roller coaster, but I just imagine a roller coaster where you go all the way up about 80 feet and then you go to your platform and get off the roller coaster.
it doesn't get that high.
Yeah, good.
But that's like that's the thing. Like the one thing.
Let's go on to the next one.
The one thing that stood out to me first was
and just walk down the stairs like I hate this.
When Penny was laying on that thing and they put that like creature,
the slug,
to
slowly
walk his way over. And you're
what's
like,
going on?
And
here?
You're like, in your head, you're like, oh shit, like this is gonna get like right to her, and then that's where she's gonna get.
It doesn't even make it close.
Like out of nowhere, he just turns the corner into a room. You don't even know it's that room.
Right.
You turn into the corner and you're following him, and then you. Like, out of frame comes Penny, and then he just grabs the thug and throws it.
Oh,
like,
yeah, go, Blim, go.
Yeah.
Don't touch that.
Don't touch that. He throws it.
Fuck you.
You're like, wait. You're like, what? Like, what just happened? How did that just happen?
Yeah.
And then again, like, the end of the movie with the spaceship blowing up, You're like,
yeah, why you see it behind like, his shoulder?
Yeah.
Where's like, the rearview mirror why would in you that aim spaceship?
Like
that?
Yeah, and it's just like, and it's also, well, that little thermopod, yeah. One, why is it even equipped? Two, why does it have enough firepower to take out the actual mothership? The actual
ship. It makes...
In, like, one blast.
Because it laughs, that's why.
But that's...
Not, you have to end
and then,
it somehow.
But that's not and laughing with,
that
with
whole
the
scene,
movie.
That
like,
whole scene beginning with the man piloting the ship going...
I don't know how to drive this thing. And then he's doing all these fucking donuts
spaghetti, like corkscrews.
Driving barrel rolls
Come
and
on,
shit.
Barrel rolls. Yeah.
For you asking me before, like, oh, were you laughing at the movie or are you laughing with it? Some parts of the movie I was laughing with it. At those points, I was
laughing
like,
at
why
it.
Why am I
but
watching
it was
this?
Important moments that I was laughing at the movie, which right, sucks. Yeah. You know, because that's exactly. What I'm saying. So as like a film that you can just go in, and like I think if I was in a better mood when I put this thing on, I would have gone into it as like the way we go into Sharknado and shit like that. Instead, yeah. Like, and maybe you overhyped it a little bit.
How did I overhype it?
By saying this
by
is
you've been pushing
movie.
This movie since the beginning of the year.
I just said we should watch this movie.
Yeah, because and that's
because it is a goofy movie.
Right, but you didn't go like, hey, you should watch this movie. I really didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, because you know, that's a great way to sell things.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You oversold
but
it.
Whatever.
But did you?
That's what I'm saying. You
hey,
oversold.
Hey, watch this credit.
But did
no,
you,
no, no.
But do you really like this movie? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
I fucking thoroughly enjoyed this movie. The first time I watched it, I watched this movie three times. The first time
were
I watched
you a kid during one of
no,
those times?
It was on Netflix.
Damn.
It was on Netflix. The first time I saw it. It was when we were doing Underrated Heroes. Right?
Okay. Wow.
Right. So it was a couple
did
years ago.
Did you write a post about it?
I did write a post about it. I wrote a drinking game post.
You were definitely a kid. You were like
a kid
20,
of all
like
28.
26.
So, what was it? It was me and my cousin Melissa.
Yeah.
We were going to live tweet movies and then we're going to kind of bring the post to the blog.
Yeah.
So we were both watching it and we're like, as we were live tweeting, we were texting each other going like, are you understanding what's going on right now?
Mm.
Like, this is a fucking confusing movie.
Yeah.
And then the second time I watched it, I started like going like, oh, I started picking up on other shit because I was very, like, oh, this dumb movie, this fucking, like, oh, like, it's an 80s goof fest, like, I fucking, and then now watching it the third time, it just thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm.
Like, so, like, I think it gets better each time you watch.
I...
Like Monster Squad. I watched Monster Squad 5 times in 1 week.
That's terrible.
It was. But it was still a lot of fun.
See, like a movie.
Sometimes you just come to me with accounts of the way you spend your time.
Hey, man.
And sometimes it's really cool.
Right.
And then other times you watch Monster Squad 5 times.
No, because I didn't know what day we were going to review it.
Isn't it always on Sundays?
No, we had a little bit of a running on because it was during
yeah.
the summer. So
yeah.
But see, like my perfect example of a movie that. I watched the first time and I really didn't like it at all. But then I was like, you know, let me give that movie another chance, and I loved it after that time. Was Napoleon Dynamite? I like that's
okay, yeah.
The prime example of a movie that I did not like at all. But then watched it again and I was like, oh, this movie's great. Like, why did I think of that?
A prime example of a movie you loved right out the bat was The Phantom Menace.
Whew. I mean.
Ebb and flow.
Why do you bring him on here just so we can discredit him?
Well,
with the
yeah.
Phantom Menace.
Like I said before, I'm very defensive of this movie.
Okay.
I'm like backed into a wall corner here. I'm fighting.
But like I said, I like.
I don't care if you could fucking squat 500 pounds. I'm ready to fucking fight.
I like The Phantom Menace because it brought me into the Star Wars universe. That's the only reason
this
why.
This will bring you into the Buckaroo Banzai.
No.
There is no universe.
There will be.
We don't know
we
that.
We don't know that. And
look,
it's Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith is going to make a TV show.
That's,
Amazon.
That's
on sci-fi.
Yeah, which will be fucking dope, though.
Look, I love him, but I'm afraid
maybe.
That he might commit suicide with all the bad things people say about
like
him.
Penny tried to for no fucking reason.
No, Kevin Smith's fine. He lives in that, like, now he lives in that fucking camp era. If you're gonna like, herald fucking Tusk and what's the last
Yoga
one?
Yoga Hoosiers?
I don't know. I didn't even see that one.
I haven't seen it yet either.
Yeah, I heard.
That's a movie we should
but
watch.
But he loves these things that he's doing. So if he's loving it, because he's also doing Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl.
Yeah.
So he's now kind of transitioning into this smaller screen.
He's also doing kind of what Adam Sandler's doing, where he's just making movies that he wants to make. Right. You know, like, Adam Sandler is not saying, like, oh, I want to make this movie because I want it to be, like, a big success. He's like, oh, this sounds like fun. I have the money. And
Adam Sandler, I really want to go to Maine for my summer vacation. Yeah. And so does Chris Rock.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So we're going to make Grown Ups too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, in the end, like, I could definitely think about it a little more positively than I did when I came in.
Right.
And that is, you know.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but it's I still give it like a 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the end, I was just happy it ended.
Yeah.
After the music scene.
Yeah.
Which they played throughout the entire movie.
You know, I did like the theme song.
I appreciate that it had a theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that it had a theme song.
I would go 4, like a 3 or 4.
Okay. What do you give it, Brian?
Well, if you want, like, enjoy, like, because, like, how we did with Warcraft. Like, do you want the movie scale or do you want, like, the enjoyment scale?
I'm doing it on, well, they for me, they line up.
All right.
On this one.
On an enjoyment scale, I'll give it a 4. On a movie scale, I give it a 2. Ooh.
Yeah, that's so true. I'll, as a movie, yeah, that's true.
It was a really shitty movie.
They don't even line up.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's, yeah.
It was a really shitty movie, but it was funny. But I don't know if it was purposely supposed to be like that.
Yeah, some
like,
parts were, some parts aren't.
Yeah, that was...
Big Boute, that's definitely intentional, you know? But, like, you know, or, like, asking the president asking if he should just go ahead and destroy Russia.
Yeah.
You know, that's very clearly intentional. But, like you said before, with the climax, that...
There was no climax.
Yeah.
The lack of climaxes. Yeah, they had two opportunities and... They completely... It didn't even fall flat. It fell down underground. Like, yeah. And never came up.
Nosedive.
Yeah. It went up and then nosedove.
Yeah, the action scenes... I mean, and again, all the people falling off the rafters and shit is fun.
Right.
But it's like...
What's it going to?
Yeah, and it's hard for me to, like, consider it even that much of a parody when it came out before a lot of the movies that a movie like this would parody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, look.
I think this is the cheesy sci-fi movie that cheesy sci-fi parodies parody. You know? Mm-hmm.
Look, on the scale of enjoyment, I give it a 6.
Okay.
This is enjoyment. This is my personal
fair.
Enjoyment.
Okay.
But movie making wise, it's a 2.
So
like this, because I even said like the editing, it's
yeah,
it's very off, obvious, yeah. And then there are some takes where it's like. Couldn't
mm-hmm.
go again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Guy, like the one guy talking to the president.
It's like
just one more take.
Yeah.
Let him work it out. Shake out the bad vibes. And there were some things where, like in when Christopher Lloyd flips off John Lithgow in the Lithgow even said he started laughing. And you saw when
in the scene?
He started, because he knew what was going on behind him.
Yeah, yeah.
When he grabbed the helmet and you see him kiss it,
that's
him laughing.
Oh, wow.
The torture scene where Peter Weller is, like, all hooked up,
mm-hmm.
apparently Christopher Lloyd was just eating Fritos behind him, so he could not stop laughing, and they cut that scene kind of to pieces so that it would... So that's why kind of, like, some of it looked
That's what I'm saying, like, why not just shoot it when he's not eating Fritos?
Then he was just doing it the entire time.
That, or why not just show that it's a comedy in that aspect and just have them laugh, you know? Like
you're not...
I would like this.
What makes comedies funny
hold on.
Is not them laughing at the joke. It's you laughing at the joke. So it's them taking it absolutely serious.
What I think would make this movie better is if it kind of had the Spaceballs effect where they knew they were filming a movie. You know, like in Spaceballs, like when they're watching the DVD. Like
that was trippy, yeah.
Yeah, like... Something like that, where like you could tell that it's a
but that's
like,
Mel Brooks tell. Though. That's a Mel Brooks trope.
Yeah.
Mel Brooks does that on all of his movies.
Yeah, and I think they were specifically going for it to be deadpan, as in all the ridiculousness is like completely normal.
Yes,
And I think that sometimes it worked, but again, in cases like what we're talking about now, it I don't think it did.
Mm.
You know, so it worked. Okay. I think every time Perfect Tommy did it, it worked.
Yeah.
You know, every time like John Lithgow did it, or Peter Weller did it,
right.
It didn't.
Well, Peter Weller, because he has such like a very deep,
stern
straight
face,
voice,
yeah.
And he's like this.
I
want
to talk about him when
he ran into the to the press conference room and just shouted evil.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, people are okay with this,
right?
But like he bought into it.
And that was the first time you saw that they were aliens.
Right.
So for a second, you're thinking like. what, did no one fucking notice they were just sitting there the whole time?
Just sitting there chilling out.
Yeah, it was only later that you realized, like, oh, only he saw that.
Yeah.
Though everyone else saw two people get up and run.
Yeah.
And him chase two people away, calling them evil.
God. Weller. What's his
name? Peter Weller?
Peter Weller. He has the same... I have the same problem with him that I do with Paul Giamatti, where... I saw him in a movie and I didn't like him in that movie and I didn't like him as an actor and I didn't like his character in the movie, so I never liked him in any other movie.
Paul Giamatti?
No, Peter Weller. The first time I really watched a movie like as an adult with him in it was Star Trek Into Darkness, and I hated his character and I couldn't connect to him because I knew it was the same guy and I'm like, I don't like this guy.
Admiral Pike?
No, he was the other, he was like the other guy.
The guy above.
The Pike. Guy above Pike, yeah. Yeah.
Captain RoboCop.
Yeah.
I mean, Weller's done a lot of good stuff. You see the Dark Knight Returns comic cartoon? No, he was Batman in that. He was very good in that.
Hmm.
I mean, of course, RoboCop.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk, like, you want to talk about 80s movies, RoboCop. He got RoboCop over this movie. What else?
Good.
Yeah.
Kinda. They gave him RoboCop
they
after
gave
they saw
him,
this.
They gave him. They go. You know what?
Before.
You know what would work out well. RoboCop came out 3 years after this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But also, if you think about it, in the same year, this came out in 1984. So in the same summer that this came out in August. So this was like Suicide Squad-ish.
Huh.
So, was it? Indiana Jones Temple of Doom came out.
Sorry.
Yeah, Temple of Doom came out in 84. Gremlins?
Hmm.
Ghostbusters?
Hmm.
Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, which Christopher Lloyd was already in. And then the following year, the next year after, I think a couple months after, was Back to the Future. So there was a lot of like good movies in between.
So it obviously had its highs and lows.
And people said like, this is going to be a cult movie, like right off the bat. Like, it's people will hate it is.
Yeah.
Does it?
People fucking love this movie.
Yeah, there's some people that enjoy it.
This guy is going on. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, I think I appreciate that this movie did go on to influence a lot of other movies.
Right.
Maybe it's sort of like the Dracula effect, where like there's so many vampire movies that when you actually read Dracula, it doesn't seem to shine as much.
Sparkle,
yeah, exactly. Doesn't glitter as much,
right.
Even though that's the one that sort of influenced a lot of what went on. But it also seems like those influences are more just like nods and jokes about it.
It's like, I like this part,
right?
That's it,
right? As opposed to a movie that's like a movie that's clearly like just like, you know, this movie did this really well and I want to incorporate that.
Right.
It's more like, yo guys, remember Buckaroo Banzai? Let's put an 88 on the DeLorean.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like, it's
remember John Big Booty?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
John Smallberries? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So, you know, and because of that, I wouldn't call it exactly influential.
No, I wouldn't call it influential. I would call it, like, notable.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say it's notable in some of the things that it did. And I don't even think it did anything, like, innovative or anything particularly, you know, effective that's worth...
No, it didn't really shine, like...
Mimicking.
So if you, like, took... If you kept, like, so, like, how we were going to put this in the Summer of Squad because of the groups.
Sure.
You put this up against Goonies. Goonies did a lot more of their characters better than they did this.
Yeah.
Because they dove into why the characters were the characters. Like, you get to see them through small things. You may not have gotten like a full rich backstory, but
there were a lot more payoffs and
exactly Goonies. And when Goonies went to climax, they climaxed
hard.
There's no way of saying that
those kids climaxed hard.
Yeah,
those kids came really, I mean, climaxed really hard.
Don't come in here
a little secret. Too on the nose. Yeah, right. So but I will say that I respect the movie for sticking to its guns and having an idea in its mind of what it wants its world to be.
If you, all right, here's a question, which I think I'm gonna, especially with movies like this, the campy movie.
Yeah.
So if you were invited to a movie night, they say, bring a campiest movie that you know of.
Okay.
Would you bring this movie?
It would be in the running, yeah. No. I don't know if it's the campiest movie I've ever seen.
Okay.
I would have to think about that.
Right.
But, yeah, I It's very, if people want campy, this will give it to them.
Yeah.
I would say no for one reason. I'm not 100% sure if I want to watch this movie again.
Mm. That's the only I think if I watch it again under the mindset of, like, oh, let's just...
Matt, when do you start eating people food again?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, we'll watch it again.
2 weeks, Bindi and...
Yeah, right.
Buckaroo Banzai.
So, yeah, that's what I think. I think if you're going in there because you want to see cheesiness,
right,
I'm definitely going to enjoy the movie more than watching it this time. We're expecting some cheesiness, but overall looking for a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So on that.
On that, I say it's about a 2.5 of a movie making.
Yeah.
A four and a half enjoyment level.
But I thought you said you
loved this movie. I said it's a 6.
Oh,
so
I think if we average it out, we can give it a 4. We can average everything and give it a 4. Yeah.
Yeah, we're back now.
Yeah, guys.
We come to a point where we like to kind of plug things.
Yep.
Anybody want to plug anything?
Well, I'd like to plug the Movie Mayhem Podcast on Twitter.
There you go. At Movie Mayhem Pod.
At Movie Mayhem Pod. Feel free to hit us up. You can also check us out on Facebook, Movie Mayhem Podcast. You can check out Brian on Twitter.
At BPMCC17.
You can go ahead and go on Instagram and check us out.
At Movie Mayhem Podcast.
You could also go ahead and email us if you feel like it.
Just put at Gmail after Movie Mayhem Podcast.
That's right. Like most.
And you can find Mikey at
Instagram would be probably my top one. It's just MDQuat.
Or Snapchat.
He snaps
lots of chats.
Just DQuat on Snapchat.
I don't know. I'm still like figuring Snapchat out. So just me putting
you saw the pug filter yesterday.
Yes,
right?
I did.
That was great.
I even wrote, I was like, that fucking time.
Yeah. We were actually lucky enough to have a Movie Mayhem Podcast filter on Snapchat. So
I wish that was us, but
but nonetheless.
It's
season 3 Pugalicious. It's all back. We're ready to go, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Yep, we'll try to do a better movie next week.
Oh, we will. We will. Anything.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's gonna be pretty nice.
Good.
Yeah. Subtle hints.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Welcome to season 3.